Lawmakers in Austin have just over a month to figure out the state's budget for the next 2 years, plus a parade of other legislation, from reforming child protective services to figuring out how to fund public schools. In all, they've filed more than 9,000 bills this session. Today, we're continuing our Texas Decide series, where you decide what questions we answer about the legislature. That blizzard of bills got one listener curious about where they all come from. We all know, or at least have a general idea, how a bill becomes a law.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Even if you don't, you can probably at least sing a few bars of this song. What there's no fun jingle about? How a bill becomes a bill. That process is wonky and in the weeds, which is also a good way to describe our question asker this week.
My name is Brian Forget. I'm a technical trainer and I live in Austin, Texas.
Here's the weeds part.
I specifically teach people, this is where it gets boring, I specifically teach people about Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and fiber channel networking. It's nerdy stuff inside of the IT community. That's why I just say technical trainer.
Brian likes knowing how the insides of things work, including our state house. A few months back, he was reading through some bills on the Texas legislature's website.
And it basically occurred to me, we see the name of the representative or the senator who's introduced the bill, but how do we know who actually wrote it? You know, what went into crafting the bill before it's ever read out loud in the Capitol?
That background, that context, he says, can tell you a lot. Is the bill trying to right a great injustice or help out a certain industry? Maybe a little bit of both? Well, Brian, first off, only a member of the Texas legislature can file a bill. Technically, the term author refers to the person who files legislation and shepherds it through the lawmaking process.
As far as where the ideas come from, ideas for writing the bills come from a lot of places.
Sherry Greenberg's a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at UT Austin. She served in the Texas House for a decade, starting in 1991.
Can be something from the member's own experience, something from their districts, a member of an interest group, a lobbyist. I remember one that came from a constituent.
Let's start there. We'll get to the lobbyists and special interest groups in a second. So one day, Greenberg read a letter from a guy she represents.
He was a paramedic. He contacted me talking about a situation with EMS drivers. If they got in an accident, it could affect their personal automobile insurance. And I thought, this isn't fair at all.
She decided to author a bill to change that. That's the idea part. When it comes to the actual wording of bills, legislators don't go it alone.
No one person really writes the bill.
Jeff Archer is the executive director of the Texas Legislative Council. It's a nonpartisan group that helps lawmakers get their bills in the right format and ready to file. As far as writing,
the originator of the idea often thinks of themselves as the writer or drafter of the bill. The member thinks of themselves, they're the author or the sponsor of the legislation, so they wrote the bill. Their staff or the committee staff that fine-tuned it through the council.
And so on, with every bill. Archer says in a given session, up to 90% of the bills introduced have been through his group's hands. Texas Legislative Council's lawyers and researchers make sure a bill contains all the language it needs to be effective.
Think of legislation a little bit like computer programming or a blueprint. It's not communicating, it's doing. The bill does what the member communicates they want to accomplish.
In Sherry Greenberg's case, her bill passed, and that EMS driver got the change he hoped for. Now, back to the big guys and how they can influence what goes into a bill. One outside group with a familiar name is ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. That conservative group was behind Arizona's controversial immigration law and is a huge player in providing model legislation for state houses across the country. But there are also smaller regional and statewide interest groups, like tree-hugging Environment Texas, or the influential free market-hugging Empower Texans. And then there are business groups.
It's very common practice that groups, third-party organizations, have ideas. And they may have representatives or senators that believe their viewpoints.
That's Representative Todd Hunter, chairman of the House Calendars Committee. He's been in the legislature for 18 years and has basically seen everything. For the sake of this story, let's say there's a Gerbil Breeders of Texas Association. If those gerbil breeders want less regulations, they'll find a lawmaker who loves cuddly pet rodents.
So they go to them with their draft ideas, and then they work together with them on developing the bill. They go through the same process.
Whatever the idea, controversial or not, pro or anti-gerbil, no group can force a lawmaker to introduce a bill. Hunter says most take up legislation on issues that they already care about.
To me, it's a general process. It doesn't matter what group is out there. If they have ideas, I encourage them to work the process legally and ethically.
If the ethics of any particular industry or interest group concern you, there isn't one simple way to know if they've inspired or even written the first draft of a bill for a lawmaker. For that, you'll need to embrace your inner nerdy wonk and do some research. For KERA News, I'm Rachel Osier-Lindley.